Leading that, you could take your seats. Let me just, I hope everybody sees. This is, if it's off, if we're off, then there'd be no fighting, there'd be no struggle. We'd be going about our merry way, and it's just going to be what it is. We can make it nice, we can hang lights and do all the stuff that we've been doing, and just all goes away. It really does. But if you're pursuing truth, you're going to have to be willing to go uphill. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But we have what it takes to save the people. It's up to us. Or we can, every time we meet a struggle, we can sit down and wish to God we didn't have to do it. We could die. Some people want to die literally. Some people just want to die off in the shadows of yesteryears. And we want to use the fact that we're so upset about the vine, we had nothing to do with it. It was completely provided without anything we did. But how much more should we be concerned about the people? You got to ask yourself, is this fight worth my family? Because if it's not, then probably you're not in the right place. Because we're concerned about everybody and their families and their family's family up at every generation that we can impact. That's why we're here. We're here to, you know, I'm not here for recognition. I'm a business entrepreneur, a business owner. I could just go do that. I'm here because it's a call of God. There's a greater need than making money. Much greater. And the fact, and I always ask the Lord, why I always got that gut feeling. It don't go away. It never goes away. I've tried. Me and Charlotte, we're laying down everything. We're going on a trip, and we're not coming back for 4 weeks. If you think it goes away, it doesn't. I don't care what I do. I can go on a cruise. I can go wherever I am at. There's something about it that at the end of the day, no matter how much fun or activity you in, at the end of the day, there it is in front of you. You feel that gut feeling. There's an urgency to dig into the scripture to find out what is it, because somebody needs to hear it. I could go on, and if time would permit it for us to just add to all the different things that were said. There's no doubt many questions people have had over reasons behind things I say or do or when I do them. I can't explain to you. If I tried to explain to you, you wouldn't understand. All I can tell you in simple is I only do what he tells me. If he didn't tell me, I can't help that. Even if it hurts you, I can't help that. Because I have to I'm not the Holy Ghost. I depend on the Spirit of the Lord to guide me. So I can't act like I am. I can't make you think that I know everything when I don't. Clearly I don't know everything. But I depend on the Lord to tell me and direct me and to point me in the right direction. The timing has got to be, it's important, very important. And so a while back we had this service, and I was ministering to different people, most of the people I ministered to. And some I said, listen to it, and I'd get back with you as soon as I can. When the Lord tells me, whatever he's going to tell me, I'm going to tell you. And I hope you've seen that over the years. I've told you that. When he tells me, I'm letting you know. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the service, the end of the service. I'm going to do that. But until he does, I can't do that. So in the case of you that didn't get anything yet, it doesn't mean God's not doesn't have anything for you. Well, absolutely he does. But are you willing to be patient and wait? And in Jack's case, you know, I could tell Jack a lot of things that I know the Lord directed me to tell him, but he tells me not to. So I said, well, why not? He said, because there's something that I'm doing that when it happens, it'll be the final thing that'll set their heart toward me. Could that be today? Didn't need me. You understand? So there's times that God's going to let you know he could speak through lots of people. Don't have to speak through me. If you'll avail yourself to him, it's you. So not everything's going to come from my mouth. We have the means within this building to touch the world. But we don't see that. We're still trying to get us through the day. And so we don't see past our circumstance, our situation. Can I tell you, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's just a give me. We all get them. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, by the way, that's a quote from our Yeshua HaMashiach. I love quoting him. Amen? That's him. And so I'm going to, again, continue quoting him today. I'm going to read everything as I put it. I obviously, when I'm listening to people, I could go in and change and add and take away whatever, because it's that meaningful. I listen to people. I'm listening to what you say. And I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. I want people to understand that I don't have to do all the talking. It just so happens that I'm the one that is doing most of the talking, but I don't have to. And I listen to you. I'm listening carefully to you, and I want you to be sensitive to the things of God. That way, if the Lord's dealing with you about something, you're willing to step out and do that. You're willing to take that initiative to speak the word of the Lord. This is what the enemy tells you. It's going to change everything. Or it's going to disrupt everything. It's not going to flow. It's going to be completely off. You'll be able to tell. And sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes our foot can be put in our mouth. But we don't want that to happen, but it can happen. So we do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's why a lot of times we hold back. But you'll never learn how to be led by the Spirit unless you're led by the Spirit. You got to take your step out. And you got to be willing to do that. And that's the thing that is important. So I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to lay it out to you exactly as the Lord gave it to me. There's nothing going to be added or changed. Obviously, I can't go back and change the slides. There they are. So they were already there. I'll read it to you. You tell me if it fits. You're going to tell me if it fits. I could have went in so many different directions, considering that we're on so much stuff. How many thinks that we're on a lot of stuff right now? I mean, a lot of material, right? I'm going to read these verses that I put in the slides for today, and you see where it fits, and then we'll go from there. Now, there's so many things that I want to talk about. Maybe tonight we can address some more of those things, some of the changes that we're going to do. But I want you to hear this. Now, everybody that you was called up, you know, there's no accident that you're part of that. You're going to decide in your life, your decisions in life, what part are you going to play? You can hold back, you can hang back in the shadows, or you can be on the forefront or the front line saying, you know what, we're going to go and do what God called us to do. If that's the case, I want to tell you, you need to get ready for God supernaturally to empower you with understanding information that's going to touch people by the literal thousands, not a couple. I was watching the guy. Everybody was up there. You look at the people and look at mostly all these younger guys, right? And we sit. Now you think about it. There's a reason God wants to raise up an army of people who go out and do great exploits. There's a reason for that, and it's here. It's right here. And if we can't get a hold to it, what's our expectation for somebody else? That's important, very important. There was two Chris's mentioned, right? There's a third Chris. Three. That's a heavy load. That's heavy. We just trying to get us fixed. When you put that load on somebody, that's heavy. You listen, the burden when you, because we bear each other's burden, the burden of somebody else is different than your burden. You okay with how you can scoot by, but you don't want somebody else to suffer. You say, how does that work? Well, you ask any parent. They bear the burden of their children. They don't never want them. They're sick. They feel that. They can't. They want to say, boy, if I could just take that sickness off of them, or disease, or whatever it is. They ain't a mama or daddy alive. If their kids in St. Jude suffering, they wouldn't say, I'll take that. To see a child go through that, that's bearing that burden. They feel it. They weep over it. That's exactly what Yeshua did for all of us. He bared every single person on the planet. He took all that on himself. You think maybe he was having a rough day? It was bad. Let me tell you, it was a tough day for him. He bore the sickness, the disease, the sin of the whole human race. He bore that. And you want to know when a man sweats and it's drops of blood? Every vein and capillary inside of his body started to burst till the blood started coming through his pores, that sweat. Can you imagine that? It was tough. It's a tough day. But through it all, he had one thing in mind. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Does anybody want that? Well, it's going to take that. Let me tell you, it's going to take that from each one of us. If independently from each other. Let me show you, there's power in cooperation, coming together in a corporate power, corporate prayer, fasting, whatever it is, singing, all of that, there's power in that. But independent of each other, if we can love the Lord our God and bring all that love into one place, it's absolutely explosive. It can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. Listen, when they come out of the upper room, after that individual intimacy with the Father through the baptism of Holy Spirit, once that happened, they were in one accord in one place, but independent of each other, they had something happen to them that changed their life. Then they came out of that place. When they did, it impacted the world. They were crucifying them, balling them in oil, cutting them in pieces, feeding them to wild animals, crucifying them upside down, sawing them asunder, and they still kept going. Now, if you fit in any one of them categories that just happened to you last week, you get my point? We go through some emotional stress. But let me tell you what's going to help us, the same power that they came out that upper room with. We're going to get through it. And the reason we got in the fight is because we're on the right track. And the devil will leave us alone if he knew we was on his side. He had no sense in fighting us if we're on his side. But he can't stand it that we're standing for truth. And he don't want that. And he don't want, definitely don't want mouthpieces, voices. And all of you that were standing up here, your voices, you have a sphere of impact that you can touch people that I'll never reach. You put all that into motion. I'm not talking about this peninsula. You know what it's been since I've been here for a long time. It's like this peninsula is never going to get it. It's like some bondage that the enemy's got on everybody. People's looking for something, but they're looking for a gathering place, another club to join. And it feels good because it's all about impressing. Do you ever notice we have that spirit of impression? We've got to impress our neighbor, impress our friends. So we graduated from this school or that, and we went there, and we come back, and now we're this. And it's just been that same way. And nobody can tell me about this area. I grew up here. I know it's the fact. That's not what God put us here. You know why he put us here? He wants to impact this entire country we live in. And all the visions and all the prophecies of the Mississippi River, it's literally called the River of the Holy Spirit, turning its tide and going back the other way and impacting. We've seen it by dreams and visions. Well, it's not a literal river that's going to turn around. But spiritually, there's a foundational word that rises up on the inside of people that's going to affect people for a long time. But it's about being serious with the Lord. Let me read to you these things, and we'll just... Again, we're studying the words of Jesus. How many of you know when you study the words of Jesus, you can't go wrong? You can't go wrong. So let me just read them to you. I think I could go through them fairly quick. Mark chapter 7. Just in prayer this week, I glanced at Mark 7. I didn't read it. I just glanced at it. And when I say glanced, I'm praying, going over some different studies, not even talking about Mark 7. But and this is how it happens. I may turn aside like that and just see Mark 7 kind of inscribed, almost as if it was a vision of Mark 7. So I put it in the data bank of my mind by the Spirit of the Lord and say, God, if it's you, I'll remember it. It'll never go away. I need to go there and look at that. Mark 7 is going to be powerful. So I come here this morning. My intent was to continue talking about the world as we know, is it real, and go into talking about some deep stuff as far as the study goes on the original place of the gathering of the dust to put Adam together, to the point where the Garden of Eden was, where the sin happened, the two mountains, the dividing, where Abraham stood between the animals, just a lot of stuff. I said, I want to go into that, go a little further in talking about that. And so I was going to try to get to the third chapter, go through chapter 2 and the third chapter of Genesis, and just continue on that because we headed to chapter 6, looking at that. I get here this morning, and I said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. Because I know if I pray, when I get up, I'm going to be on track. It'll flow. I can put together anything and just because I can. But I don't want anything. So I now turned my light out in the office, and I knelt down and started praying there and praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord brought back out of that memory, Mark 7. Mark the 7th chapter. He said, that's what it is for today. That's the issue. If we get this right, we're on our way. So, all right. So I opened up Mark 7, started reading it. Of course, you know, I asked the Lord for understanding in it, laid it out in the slides for you to see. So let me read it to you. There's a stopping point that I'll stop at, but I want you to hear it based on everything that happened, everything that was said. So far, songs, everything that happened in this service. I'll read it to you, and you'll see this piece of the puzzle that'll put the picture as clear as could be. The Pharisees, in verse number 1 of Mark 7, the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. Keep that in mind. I didn't underline that. I probably should have. I did in the previous next verses. But what they were observing? Tradition of the elders. Remember that. That's what they were observing. Verse 4, and when they had come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they clean themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. So there were other things. Now, are we still talking about the tradition of the elders? Absolutely. There's no change here. There's no shift in the context of understanding. Verse 5. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him. Who's him? They asked Jesus. They're talking to Jesus. Asked Yeshua. Asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? I mean, we can try that question, right? So is Jesus teaching them something different? You know, they asked the question, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders? That's because he's teaching them something that they should know rather than what they've been told. Now, they come out of that. Remember, he called them from their fishing boats, tax collectors, physicians, or what have you. But no, don't ever forget, all of these that he called, they were all feast-keeping, traditional-keeping. They were already involved. These were not Gentiles. They were involved in the service of the temple and all that stuff. They were keepers of Torah and all that stuff. That's what as far as they knew. Yet here comes this rabbi, you know, seemingly from nowhere, from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he tells them something different. So they ask this question, why do they do that? And they don't walk according to the tradition of the elders. I underlined it there. But eat their bread with impure hands. And he said to them, the speaker is Yeshua, Jesus, as you might know him. Same thing. Rightly, and this is what he says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites as it is written. Now, what did he call them? That's offensive. In today's world, I mean, you don't do that, right? I mean, you really can't call anybody anything anymore because it's offensive, it's racism, it's anti-Semitic. It's just on and on. The list goes on and on. But here, we're not talking about right now. We're talking about in Jesus' day, and he just says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. These would almost be like brethren, right? Co-brethren. So this was kind of an in-church disagreement, in-church. And he called them hypocrites, as it is written. And then he says, goes on in verse 7, he says, this people honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How many know that that's one of the things that we got to make sure we got right? Because we could get used to lip service. But what's going to be challenged? What you said? Or how you live every day? The heart is going to be the challenge thing. But their heart is far away from me. But in vain, this is what he says, but in vain they do worship me. Now that's worship, but it's in what? In vain. It's in vain. He said it's like it's a waste of time. It's something that comes and goes and nothing gets done with it. How many want your time to count? How many know that our time is short? And we want our time to count. We want it to mean something. How many want when you pray, you want it to mean something? When you worship, you want it to mean something. How many want that? When you go to church, you want it to mean something. Well, it's important on what is doing that. Is it lip service or is it from the heart? We got to really check that out. So he says, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me. Now, here's how they do it. Teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Now, Isaiah is the prophet, and he's prophesying this would happen. Now, we got all this time goes on, and now it's actually happened. That's why Jesus says, it's the same thing Isaiah said. It's nothing new. What you're doing is what Isaiah said you would do. And so he's bringing up some very good and very important points. Let me read it from Isaiah 29:13. That's for you, just for your reference so you can go back and study it again. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Now that's, again, the traditions of men. That's what they've been taught. So they don't check it out. They just say what they said, this is what you need to do, and so forth. Well, at this particular time, they had added a bunch of traditions to the commandments of the Lord. They added those to the commands. That's not good because they were more busy keeping up with the commands that were added than the initial commands that were set forth. So keep that in mind. Verse number 8. Neglecting, that's very important, neglecting the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men. That's where we were. We're still coming out of that. Listen, when you dig in deep, it takes a while to dig out. How many understand that? And we dug ourselves in deep. We got to get out. But he says, neglecting the commandments of God, the more we neglect what God says, the more we're going to keep something. And generally, it's the traditions of men or what other folks are doing. So we'll copy. So we'll see what works somewhere else. We implement it here. We're going to try to get the same results. That's no different than traditions of men. How many know what we should be doing? We should pray and ask the Lord. what direction he's given us for the word, and we go for from there. Verse number 9, he also saying to them, quote, you are experts at setting aside commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. Notice what he said. Now, did he call them experts? He said, you're good at it. You're good at setting aside what God said so you can keep the traditions of men. Verse 10, for Moses said, this is what Moses says, honor your father and mother, your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. So I want to stop there because I'm going to cover a couple of things here just to bring us up to speed on what he's saying here. Worship is important to God. What we do with our life can't be self-defined. We have to find something. The scripture tells us what we do, and we adhere to that. That's why he gave us commandments. If we don't use them, then we can self-define, kind of define how we think we're, well, and we'll say things like this. Well, it's the way I feel, I'm honoring God. Well, it don't go by how you feel. It doesn't go by how I feel. He says, you honor me, but you honor me based on what you do by traditions of men. So when they would wash their hands, they would say, we're honoring the Lord. This is for the Lord. The Lord didn't want that. So we can say it's for the Lord, but he doesn't want it. Why do we do it? And he said, well, we look at them. We wash our bowls like a minute more than them. You know, ours are really clean. And as a matter of fact, we swirl this away, and they all over doing that. We count the swirls of how we wash, and we use, you know, and so ours makes us better. And God says, I don't want that. But they're doing it. Every time they're doing it. So they would go out to the market, and they would come in from the market, and they would go and ceremonially wash in front of everybody. And then they would you know, pat down and walk in like this, you know. And then they would eat. Well, Jesus' disciples, you know, they're coming from the market. Man, we hungry. You know, they pray and eat, and they're with Jesus. And they said, why do you teach your disciples to do that? It's disrespectful. We've been doing this for years. So Jesus answers them and says, well, that's because you're doing what man teaches you to do, and I'm teaching them how to do what God commands us to do. And then he explains what they did. He says, when you do that, that's lip service. So people could come. We can come to church and we can give lip service. Lip service can be not in so much what one says, but how you respond or you act or what you participate in. You could be involved in every program we have here and it still be lip service. Because from the heart is what God is looking for. So you could get just, you know, maybe you're the type of person that you're just, you know, you're happy, you're jolly, and you don't mind being involved in everything. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. But it could be all lip service. But if there's something on the inside that when you're doing it, let's just give an example. Say you're going to work with the youth. You're working with the youth. And you say, well, I maybe because you like youth. But that could be lip service, just because you like them. But when you get sleep at night, because their faces keep coming in front of your eyes and you staying up praying for them, that's something different. That's the worship, that's the heart. Something's got you on your heart and it won't let you go. He said, that's what I'm looking for. And that's how we have to respond to God. It's got to be something on the inside of us. Not telling God. And you see it all the time. It's amazing to me. I get exposed to a lot of things, and I say very little, unless the Lord tells me. I always ask the Lord, you want me to say something? And a lot of times I'm in a situation just for observation, not to say anything. Just don't say anything. You know, it amazes me how much lip service is going on around the world. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for you. And if that's the case on what happens inside of a church, it's not healthy for the church. Because whenever you leave here and you go wherever you go and do what you do, you represent the kingdom of God. That's what you're representing. You're saying that this is what we stand for. Is it right? What you stand for? Have you checked out what you're promoting? What your associations? Is that something that you feel comfortable in, that when you stand before God, it's going to be great? Everything's going to be fine? We have to look at those things. We have to take those things into consideration. So I want to break something down for you, because I believe when we leave here, based on everything that happened, the next things I'm going to show you, I believe that it'll challenge you to go a step beyond just surface understanding. And I think that's what happened. We get a superficial kind of thought process on what we think about something, and that's not going to get us there. We got to dig in. We got to grab hold to the principle of the truth. So I'm going to lay this out to you. I'm going to show you. I wish I had more time. This really, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is a whole, a whole study all its own. But I'm throwing it in there. We can revisit it at a later time. If you have any questions about it, we can definitely look at that. But let me look at this with you. I promise you, if you'll open up your understanding and grab hold to what I'm about to tell you, based upon just the first few verses that I read to you in 7, words of Jesus, you're going to have a deep understanding about what God has for you. So let's take it on. Let's look at the 7 most common Hebrew words used for worship. These words are translated, it may be different ways, like worship, praise, shout, bless, thanks, sing, etc. I didn't put them all. Each word has a different meaning in the context in which it is applied. So Hebrew words mean things. So when you see the word worship, there's certain types of worship, there's times of worship, there's requirements of posture in worship at certain times. Sometimes our hands should be lifted. Sometimes we should be on bowed knees. I was going over this, and I said to the Lord, I said, I'm just wondering when's the last time on bowed knees we done anything. And it's not something that's dictated by the majority of the people. That's you. Say today, song service started. I wonder if anybody, all of a sudden, you had this urgent feeling come on you, and you said, wow, I just need to lift my hands. Or maybe I need to step out of my seat and go before the Lord. Maybe I just kneel. And we fight those feelings. They just come and go, and we don't do any of them. That was the Lord saying, for your breakthrough, this is the type of worship I want from you today. How many ready for that? You want to go from lip service to real worship? That's how it happens. The Lord brought me this photo. I have thousands, literally thousands. When we travel on mission trips, I'm the photo guy. I could take 12,000 photos on a trip, one trip. We're out for 3 weeks in Nepal. But I look at these photos. There's one in particular. One in particular. And I've taken a lot of photos, many trips. I've probably got 30,000 photos on just those trips alone, not counting none of the Costa Rica trips, none of that, just Nepal. But this one photo, I'm praying the Lord brings this one photo to me, one. And it's the one where all the kids, I took the snapshot and they're all worshiping. And the one has the rolled up rupee. You know what a rupee is? It's less than a penny. She's this high. And she had tears flowing down her face. It was not, okay, everybody, all the kids line up, it's time to cry. Wasn't that? There was something that was going on in that child that was real to her, and it was far from lip service. It wasn't all the kids come up, let's sing. See, we initiate that. Well, what about during our worship? What would it do for you to see Jackson with his hands up, weeping before God during our worship? What would it do? You talking about finance? You wouldn't even cross your mind. You could care less about that. You'd give everything up for that, because that's stamped on them. We used to have that. We used to see those moments. We talked about, Brother Troy brought out a powerful brought revelation to us on Thursday for us to go back and listen to this. See it. Grab hold to it. These are principles we miss. I remember those times when we wept before the Lord. But this wasn't one little girl, but she was the kind of in the forefront of the photo. But the whole, it was a whole, I don't know, 70, 80 kids. And they're all there. And now the next part was the one next to her was the little boy, about 3. Now his posture was completely different. He just had them like this, just like that. But the tears were the same. And he had one thing on his mind. I'm going to give all my praise to the Most High. And I wonder where they got it from. I can tell you. That 7-year-old looked and saw Mama do it over and over and over again. That 3-year-old boy seen Daddy do it over and over and over again. You want that? You want the best for your children? Were they not doing lip service? Well, the pressure's on us. We got to quit doing it because we're teaching them exactly what to do. So whatever their struggles is going to be tough. We have struggles in life, but we're talking about a different time. Let me tell you the time we're in. You ready for this? And Brother Troy allowed me to say this on Thursday real quick. And I read this because this is what the Lord, because I'm asking the Lord, am I nuts? Have I lost my mind? I feel like it. I feel like I went crazy. Because everything is challenged. Everything. We're looking at everything. It's challenged. And the Lord reminded me of 2 Timothy 4. I read this Thursday. If you weren't here, you want to write this down. I don't have it on the slide, but just keep that there. I'll read it to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Great patience and instruction. That's why I've never made any demands. I'm not hard on anybody. I've never said, are you still doing that? You're not going to find me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to preach the word. It's going to feel, it's going to come across, and many times it's going to feel like reproof, rebuke, exhort, but I'm going to have great patience in this instruction. Then it's what he said. This is what the answer was. The Lord said this to me. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. That's what's going to happen. That's what people will do. We're going to find something that I feel good at. Not that challenges me. So it is a challenge. And for the most part, a lot of folks have hung in there. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of you for hanging in there. Because this is not easy. This trek is not easy. So the enemy will use everything he can with also dividing us amongst us. He'll do everything he can because he knows if I let that go unchallenged, they're going to touch the world. I can't let it. I'm going to do everything I can to distract them. And so we've been in this fog almost a fog of distraction and the decisiveness of the enemy. That's how it is. But listen, we don't know we have faith until we've been in a good fight. I read all these guys, they fought the good fight of faith. You got to be willing to fight. For if it's right, you fight for it. If it's the real thing, it's going to last. If not, it's going to fall apart. But one thing we don't want to do is bring discredit to the truth of the Word of God, because we do lip service. If we're going to fight, let's really fight. Put on the whole armor of God. Be equipped, ready to go. Look like we're in this fight. And that's important. So that's what our challenge is today, that we understand that. So I just wanted to point that out. That was just a little side note. So let's look. Each word has different meanings in this context. It is interesting that the 7 words in Hebrew Only two have anything to do with music. Only two. And that's Zamar. You see that? Zamar. Which means to play an instrument as an expression of worship to God. How many know that we can also play because we want to play? But we're to play it as an expression to God. In other words, when you're playing, you got one in the audience, and that's the Most High. So literally, if that happened, what would be your posture and your approach when you touch the instrument? It would be different than what we do. I can tell you that. It would be completely different. If your one and only audience was the Most High, what you did would be different than what we do. That's how you got to think. You got to think that away. You got to say, this is, there he is. I mean, we'd get more excited if a famous musician would come in and we had to play in front. We'd get nervous. We'd get the shakes because, you know, they're professionals and we're trying to, you just feel odd. But when we go before Yahweh, we kind of, whatever. Lip service. Think we challenged? But if we do that, you say, well, how can I do it? I mean, how can I? But you know what? One thing about doing it for the Lord, he's not looking for your perfect note. He's looking for your perfect heart. That's what he wants. I'm doing this. He wants to know that it's for him and him only. You're not here to impress. Right? Who could impress God? Think about that. How could God be impressed with us? We are created. He's not looking for that. But obedience is what impresses God. Just be obedient. We come before him, and we know we have these things. The second one, Tehillah, which means to sing a spontaneous song of praise to God out of an overflow of heart. Anybody want that? Spontaneous prayers out of an outflow of heart. That's accompanying with music. Meaning it'll all come together. Music and words come at the same time without saying, okay, how do we do this? You don't even ask. And we had moments of that. That's important. Okay? I just pointed those things out because a lot of times we think worship is always associated with music. So let's cover them. I want to go through them all. Really quick, you said, well, what does this have to do with the lip service? Because he tells us what to do, and I hope everybody, we could take some time. So, Barak, to kneel or bow, to give reverence to God as an act of adoration, implies a continual conscious giving place to God to be attuned to him in his presence. How many want to do that? This is something you can do. This is without music, by the way. There's only two with music. This is without music. Some people say, well, you know, it's hard for me to get into it because you're into the music, not into him. Remember, if it takes that, now there's two that he provides for us with that, but this one right here is without music. Nobody around, just you and him. How many would like to have some time where you kneel or bow? You give reverence to God as an act of adoration. Implies a continual conscious giving a place to God. Not me, but you, Lord. That's what it implies, you. Sometimes we got to, that's humbling ourselves. Because sometimes we think more highly than we ought. Right? And we got to say, Lord, I don't want that. And be attuned to him and his presence. A few verses. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord. How many? At what? At all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a challenge. Sometimes we're so busy just trying to get through the day. Praise is so far from us. We don't know how. We got to work on it for a while just to get it back for Sunday. How many want this type of worship? I will bless the Lord at all times. It takes some practice. I don't care what you're going through, what's happening. Start practicing. I'm going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. No matter what happens. I don't care what you're going through and everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Start practicing this type of worship, and you're going to get from lip service to the heart that's right there by him. It's going to be right there by him. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and do what? Bless his name. That's that word again. Bless his name. How many want to start doing that every day? All day. Psalms 95, verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Right? Worship and bow down. Let us kneel, that's that word, before the Lord our Maker. How many think we should, sometimes, if you never feel the urgency to kneel, you're missing this type of worship. Some people say, well, you know, I pray standing up. Yeah, that's fine, but you're missing this one. I got a one for standing up, but this one you need. How many believe we need, if you put seven, we need all seven? How many think we do? Let me tell you, this is important. We're talking about the lips, going from lip service to the heart connected to the Most High. Once that happens, the power to accomplish everything you need is going to happen. And you talk about get along, it's a give me. It's absolutely a give me. Should I continue? The next one. Hello, this is where we get the word Halle. Who wants to finish it? Yeah. To praise. To make a show or rave about. This has got a little more action in it, which we need here. Huh? Remember we used to sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And people say, oh boy, I don't know about that. Yet we'll go to LSU game and we get our Hallel on and nobody tells you anything. You understand what I'm saying? But you start doing something for God, oh, that's the crazy bunch. Not the Brady bunch, I said, the crazy bunch. It's the truth, but we don't, you know, we hold back because we don't want to be embarrassed. But you ever notice we can get in the company of people we know and people we don't know. We never met them a day in our life, and it doesn't matter. We let go because we have a passion for what we're participating in. And we've lost that when it comes to the Lord. You know, it's easy to blame the pastor. Well, you know, pastor, you know, he's kind of laid back. He's doing all he's teaching these slides. And we want to get in there and get it. Well, we just started with some songs. Why didn't you get in and get it? I even stay out of the room till you get your getting going, and I'll come in and we'll teach. So don't put that blame on me. Let me tell you what it is. We're missing this. We do lip service, but we're not in the, our heart's not in it. When you get your heart in it, you say, well, I'd have started, but nobody started it. You see? You only want to respond by somebody else doing something. You're not doing it for them. They're not doing it for you. You're doing it for him. You do it. And it's everybody else's responsibility. Because even if everybody starts because you started, whatever they did, even though they're emotional, they'll never connect to the Lord the way you did because you did it toward him. So you could have a whole church join in. I've seen it. I've been in those services. But you can tell the one who really connected with God, because the very next problem they faced with, they had the strength to be an overcomer and not give in to the sin. But the guy that shouted just as heavy as he shouted, because he shouted because the other guy shouted, they gave in to it. There's a difference when your heart gets connected with God. You come out different. You change at the end, that encounter. And how many want that? See, we had all these people up here. You're in the army. You're either going down or you're going to make it. Because I can tell you, the enemy's shooting real bullets. They're real. They're not aimed to injure you. If you've been injured, there's a lot of injuries. I think we suffered a lot of injuries. But they weren't meant to injure you. They were meant to kill you. Just keep that in mind. You don't have a friend on the side of the enemy's camp. There's no friends. They are meant to destroy you completely. He comes but to kill, to steal and destroy means to grind up. If you study it out and blow it away like powder, it's over. You lose your shape, you lose your figure, everything is ground up. It's powder. But his purpose is there, it's no more. That's his job. That's what he does. But how many know he said, I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. So everything the devil says, you can always one-up him every time if you'll know the word of God. All you got to do is study the scripture. So he says, to praise, to make a show, a rave about, to glory or to boast upon, to be clamorous, foolish about you, adoration of God as in hallelujah. So, yeah, if you want to put a little hallelujah in there, by all means. Right? So when I say hallelujah, if I'd done that in Nepal, I'd have had 10,000 people shout so loud you can hardly hear yourself think. I say hallelujah here. We out of touch. You understand? So when I say hallelujah, whoa, it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. So Brother Josh comes up, starts the service, and says, good morning, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then we know you're here. You're about getting ready now. That's an act of worship, just to let you know. When you do that, so what happens when Jesus is coming in? You take the lamb is picked on the 10th, and you keep him 4 days. On the 10th, when he's coming in, what did they do? They started shouting and praising, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the priest said, if you don't stop, you need to stop them. He said, if I stop them, the stones, because this is appointed for them to say. It's demanded by God. Do you know your worship is the demand from God? You say, well, I don't, you know, sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. But that's true from you personally. That don't stop the demand. When you enter, it's a demand to do that. So when you enter in, he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. That's some type of move. That's a demand. So when he says, in this one, I'll read the scripture to you. Let me read the scripture to you in this one so you can catch it. Psalms 22, verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Praise him. That word praise there is hallelujah. So you who fear the Lord, you ought to be willing to shout hallelujah. Right? No problem. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, fear him. All you offsprings of Israel. This is what he says. Psalms 44, verse 8. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. Psalms 63, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. How many want to praise him with joyful lips? How many's ever been joyful and you got excited? In any event, whatever event it might have been, a surprise party, maybe, you know? And you get so full of, I mean, you want to cover your face because you know people's taking pictures and you can't control your reaction and you're going, and you know, you look at the pictures later and you go, I was acting like an idiot, you know? But you couldn't, you were so full of emotion, you was making all kind of facial expressions and people were, and sometimes we come before God and we got the same expression, you know? You get tired of looking at people look the same way every Sunday. I wonder if I, did I say that? Do something. Be a joyful expression. That's part of what he said to do. How many did I cover so far? Was that 3? 4? Here's one. Shakar. It's very important. It's to depress or prostrate in homage or loyalty to God, bow down or fall down flat. Now, there's something that happens in this happening, and this is one that I want to spend some time on because it's, I tell you, I'm going to stop here. I won't finish them. I won't finish them. Let me read this scripture, and then I'm going to stop here. Psalms 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking I can apply music and song and get that done. Not so. Not that one. But I apply it because it says worship. I just take it in general. In general. Now, if I just take music and song and apply it, then I miss something, because there's got to be something added. There's got to be something that leads the music and the song in order for that to work. Can it be addition to? Absolutely. Because all these start to come into play once we hit them all. Can you imagine all seven of them happening all at the same time in this entire congregation? Oh, my. You want to see a move of God? You want to see God stamped by the move of His Spirit and the power of God touching, healing? Healing take place? Now, let me tell you, if I read on the seven, I'm not going to read it today. You could go on and read on, and we'll finish it later. But if you read down, how many know miracles started happening? Ears that were deaf, open, impediment of speech. Woman comes there, daughter's, she's not even, I mean, she's. I might read that one because you need that one. Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 66:4, all the earth shall worship you and sing praise to you. They shall sing praise to your name. Psalms 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God. Let's go down all the way. Phil, go down to 400. Go down to 400. Slide 400. I want to look at this word, sakkah. This is it in its original. Okay? You see it up here? Now, again, we read from what? When we read a book, how we read? Right? Left to right, not in Hebrew. So the first word is, how many see that over there that looks like a flames on top of these? So we're going to read from right to left. So this word, I'm just breaking this one down. I'm going to do them all, but this one caught my attention because I was reading the meaning behind the Hebrew letters. And I was waiting on this book to come, and I got it, and I jumped right in it. She tell you, I took it out of the box, and I had several coming. But I grabbed that one. Started reading it, because I'd been waiting for it to come. Because I said, Lord, in order for me to teach, I'm going to have to understand past the Strong's and the lexicon. I'm going to go past that. Words mean things, but the letters mean things also. And a built-in commentary is in the word, in the letter. I'm interested in what God meant when He spoke. When He can say, listen, Elohim says, let there be light. And there was light. There's power in what He says. And He didn't say anything that didn't have to be said. So in this particular word here, for worship, this is for worship, I want to break it down, and we'll look at each one of them. I'll just put them up as I talk about them. I don't have it. My slides are kind of out of order when it comes to this, but I'll read this to you. Take, for example, the word for worship in Hebrew, which is shakkah. And these words, I'm not good at Hebrew and pronouncing, but I could tell you. Hebrew is read from right to left. So the first letter of the word is shin. Okay? Shin. This is it. Let me see that. That's the first letter, which has traditionally carried the meaning of passion, fire, or fiery passion. How many know we got to have that? What's the one thing, the enemy? When I saw the service going the way it was, I was so excited because I had to get to this part, and I'm going to finish it up. Because I knew that one thing the enemy has to do in order to interrupt your passion, a fiery passion for the Most High, is to make us start to see that our issue is with each other. Now, that's not who you are. That's what we allow to stay when the redeeming power and freeing power comes to eliminate those ideas and thoughts in our head. That has to be the finished work. Because if you think nobody's finished in here, just to let you know, we're working out our salvation, or should be, with fear and trembling. We're pursuing that perfect standing with God. That's why He said He gave first the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for perfecting the saints. If saints arrive when they get to be saints, then what's the point in perfecting them? How do you perfect what's perfect? You see? So we need to continue in our walk with God. It's an ongoing relationship. So understand this word, shin, is very important. Thus, the worship involves a fiery passion between God and man. How many can say honestly, you was letting things cloud your fiery passion for God? How many know we stop that? We are tapping into something. And we have moments. How many's had moments? I mean, you got to admit, you're going down the road and you start thinking about the Lord, or you're listening to a song and you're driving, and all of a sudden, you hit it. Not he hit it. He didn't come and tap on the window and say, I'm going to get in the car with you. He's always in the car. So it wasn't him coming. It was you getting there. How many got that? It was you, Shin. Fiery passion. Once that happens, it turned on. Something went on. Wow. How many want that? And you can have it regular, daily basis. This is important. So the worship involves a fiery passion between God and man. The second letter is Chet. Chet is this one. Two of them look similar, but they mean something different. Which represent a joining with God in a secret, special place or a bridal chamber. Oh, boy. let me help you out here, because some of you got, you're not gonna. I want you to get this. How many know what passion is or feelings? I'm gonna talk to the guys, because the ladies, they are different. They're different. But guys, that feeling you have for your wife, leading up to that moment. Let me come over here. Think about it. Is it real? It is. It'll make you drop everything. You know, before you felt the feeling, you had to fix the window that broke, cut the grass, wash the car, go to work. But then the feeling come. You could care less about the window. You don't care if the car's broke. Am I telling the truth? That's Chet for God. I'm just giving you the built-in commentary. Can you imagine that? For that moment, all you want is him. We're talking about worship. I'm just picking one of the words. I'm going to do all of them. And there are mounds of information. But I'm just trying to tell you, we're missing that. And the more we do that, the less we're going to see each other. The less we'll see each other. It's easy for me to pick out what you got going on and miss what I got. That I'm just overlooking it. Because I'm so busy looking over mine to see yours. What this does is, the moment you want that feeling to be with the Lord, you can't go in until you deal with this. And you're willing to deal with it. You know what that means, huh? That means the wife's been gone a while, and you coming from the marina. Oh. Don't get embarrassed. That's what we're missing with God. When's the last time that church meant that to you? You understand? So what you think the enemy's going to fight that? You better believe it. Because if he gets a bunch of folks who they can't wait to get their Bible in their hand, they have that feeling. I mean, they're busy. Notice, you're going to be busy. You got stuff going on. But you can't wait. The very next thing, you're going to, man, I'm going to hurry. I'm finishing. How many has ever done that because you had something you planned? You was going on an outing, and you're doing something fast, and you really, you can't do it all. You might throw a bucket of water on the boat, whatever it is. You're cleaning house, and you're doing all that because you're so involved in where you want to go. You feel it so much. Can you imagine having that toward God? Now, let me read it to you so you'll remember this definition. It's which represents a joining with God in a secret special place or bridal chamber. Can you imagine joining with God? What happens to the person who joins with God? Could you imagine that? Can you come out the same? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible to come out the same. The final letter is the word in Chicago is hey. It's H-E-I. You see it there? Go to the next one, Phil. Now, they're similar, but their difference in them is the space. Let me see that. Similar, but the space at the top. So you got to watch, especially the reading Hebrew, which makes sure you understand that. Which represents the divine presence or the presence of God. Thus, you have a built-in commentary. This is the commentary. So this is this represents the divine presence of God. So when we look at the entirety of it, the whole thing of what these all were, so for the word worship, which tells you that when you worship, you are sharing a fiery passion with God and He with you through to joining with Him in a secret place like a bridal chamber to experience His presence. That's that one word for worship. How many actually believe that you just perform that? This is without music. No song. When's the last time that one's performed? When you go in and it's just this moment. That's the kind of stuff that God has for us and we have to be prepared for. Now, all of this, again, is dealing with the one statement Jesus makes here, and He says, you have lip service, but your heart is far from Me. Lip service. So let me just show you what can happen if we take these things in consideration and do what God wants us to do. Let me read this, and we're going to close with this statement because this was powerful. Verse 24 of that seventh chapter, Jesus got up and went away from there into the region of Tyre, and when He had entered the house, He wanted no one to know of it, yet He could not escape notice, but after hearing of Him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at His feet. Now, I'm reading this one because this is something that's been heavy on me about the children here and our responsibility to protect them, that they not come under these attacks. They're vicious attacks. Listen to me. So this woman has a daughter, has an unclean spirit, and came immediately, fell at Jesus' feet, fell at His feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenicians race, and she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And He was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first. Now, this is Jesus. Now, here's a woman fall at His feet. Now, if you listen to what He says, it's almost, really, did Jesus just say that? Here's a woman falls at His feet. Her daughter is possessed with a demon. And Jesus' response is this. Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Who was the dog here? In Jesus' statement, that woman. You mean Jesus talked that way? I'm just reading His words. This is His words. The woman represented the dogs because she was Gentile. Jesus says, let the children be satisfied first. He's talking about the Jewish or the Israelites, the Jews, because He came for the lost tribes. So He's getting there, but you have to understand it's in entirety. But here's what He says, let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord. Now, she could have got offended. And that's what happens in most churches. Everybody gets offended. But at least a little thing. And the reason they get offended, because what they really think they really want is not high on their demands and priorities, especially when it comes to their children being safe. Let me tell you, if you understand this, you would get less offended at anything because the effects on the next generation. Your offense affects the next generation. Remember that. You would see what happens is this generation, they don't want to take anything. And sometimes we have to, because the next generation is the one the enemy is trying to put demons on. And let me tell you, demons are, I can go into the whole, of course, demons what are what? Disembodied spirits who are looking to possess. Now, her daughter's possessed with a demon. You don't know how that feels until your child's possessed with one. You don't want that. You don't want that to happen, but there's freedom. If we're willing to not be offended. This is what she said. Listen to her. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. That is powerful. This is a woman coming into another home, uninvited. In that day, a woman coming into another home, again, was completely not done. She shouldn't even went into the home because her husband had to be with her. That's a custom. But we read about different women who came in the house uninvited. Remember the woman with the alabaster box? She wasn't invited either. She went in anyway because she was on a mission. This woman comes, a Gentile, definitely not invited into a Jewish home. But she comes in anyway. Jesus is basically... You know, he tells her something that's, you know, offensive at best. I mean, I just read it to you. It's offensive. I mean, to single out, you know, to nowadays that would have been, I mean, that's, you'd have been a racist, right? Am I telling the truth? You'd have been a racist to say stuff like that. I mean, that's bad. But he was, you know what? Sometimes things have to be said and they're hard because it's to check where you're at. And that's what Jesus was doing. And that's not only to check where she's at, it's the ones that's all the sightseers around, your closest compadres. You want to see faith? You want to see realness? You want to see somebody, when they bow down and they fall on their face, it means something to them? I'm about to show you that. So he was playing into where it was real. And this is what she said. Lord, even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And he said to her, watch this, quote, because of this answer, go. Because of what? This answer, go. Notice that. He said, because of this answer. That means, you know what that tells me? She could have had another answer if she'd have answered by offense. But what she was had on her mind was her daughter was demon-possessed. That's it. How many want to see your children succeed? How many want to see your children be protected and kept safe? Be careful how you receive the word. Because even though it may be offensive to you directly, if you receive it, on their behalf, you're going to come out in the end. Let me understand that. Take it. Sometimes it's hard, but you take it. Watch what he says. Because of this answer, go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Did Jesus go over there and pray over and work an exorcist up? No, he didn't do any of that. The demon was in the daughter, and the daughter was somewhere else. But the woman answered correctly. He said, you can go. A woman answer like that, after I just said what I said, there ain't no demon can stay in their children. That's power in what you say. There's power in how you respond. There's power in your reaction. power. How many want to see people free? Depends what we do. And going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon having left. What power we have in the scripture. So today, the words and the service, the way it went, I know that God's hand's all on this thing. I know we went a lot kind of long today. It's not the longest. We gonna be hard to break that record. So you're still within the framework of a short service. We got precedent, so we're going to leave that one by itself. That's a standalone. Try not to go there again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we're getting it. I'm telling you, we break through this. This is a push. This is a push time. The final push. The word. I'm not going to get off what I've been on. I'm going to stay on track. I know it's crazy, some of the stuff, but I'm giving you information. I'm not telling, as you say, is that your position? I'm giving you scripture. You got to go and study it out for yourself. I can only tell you, the more I think it can't get worse, I don't know why I use that word, but it's just so we can understand it. I'll go, you got to be kidding me, Lord. the question in the world as we know it, is it real? I'm telling you, we've been fed a line. And it's been a long line of stuff. But how many know that the reason God's revealing is so he prepares the church to get ready? We're going to try to cover, if we can, we're going to break down all seven types, each letter. Each letter, because it's built in commentary. It's not what I think or anybody else thinks. It's built in. What he means. I know one thing. I want to work on my fiery passion to get in a special secret place with him and have that same feeling that I'm willing to put everything down in order to have that moment. That was just the one word. That's a non-instrument, no song worship. Isn't that something? Can you imagine putting all of them in action together? The power that's going to be there? It's absolutely incredible. So I hope that. That's why I always said, you know, we could skip, you can go to service. People said, man, I just when I go, I feel something. Because you could actually feel music. You don't have to, that don't mean that you're worshiping. Because people feel someone cry. I mean, I've seen people cry at a secular concert. Did they get the spirit in them? I mean, what was that? So you could be emotional. We're not trying after that. Can all those emotions come because I'm doing it right? Well, absolutely. But if that's what you're looking for to kind of be your indication that you got somewhere, that's not it. You know what makes you know you got somewhere? When something's offensive to you and you answer right. You've been somewhere. I'm going to tell you, that woman been somewhere. Did she perform one of the seven? I just read it to you. Did she perform one of the seven? She fell on her face and knelt before Yeshua. She performed one of them. Let me tell you, something happened. Well, that to me, the answer is absolutely incredible. You don't have to give me the bread. I just want a crumb. I'll eat the crumb. And that's what he was looking for. So I hope that you understand that. This is important. It's important to where God wants us to go. So our challenge is, what do we do now? What do we do from to the rest of the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What are we going to do? How challenged are we going to be? So I hope that you take the challenge and you say, you know what? It's time. I'm looking to see. That's why we're going to have different structure. I'm going to meet today with our staff. We're going to change the order of service. It's going to be different. And we'll take that. So we're going to be doing different things. We'll let everybody know as we get all the information. This is a couple things that I want you to do. How many know what a binder is? You know, it's got the little rings. Is that a binder? Right? It's got the rings in it. You open it up. I'm asking if you know, and I don't even know if I know. I think that's what you call them, right? You open it up. It's got the rings. There's three holes, right? How many know what that means? That is. Go. They got them dollar store, Walmart, it's everything. Go buy you a binder. Everybody needs a binder. Keep it simple. You're going to need to put 52 lessons in it. So it's got to be, you know, decent size. 52 lessons. We're going to be printing the lessons and giving them to you. The holes are right in them. And you'll put them in. All right? And then that's your first lesson. Then we're going to give you the next week. And you'll put it in. And you'll be getting that every week. Till you get all, how many? 52. You're going to have 52 lessons. That's going to be the tour point.